You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome into the Gym Class at 304 here on KGYM here on this Tuesday. Very warm outside in Eastern Iowa. Great to have you aboard. We are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union each and every day right here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DuPaco.com. Also, more information available at our website at KGYMRadio.com. And speaking of KGYMRadio.com, that is where you can access this very program. You can do it at KGYMRadio.com on the stream, your mobile app from KGYM, smart speaker as well, or we invite you to tune in terrestrially, 1600 AM and 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids and 106.3 FM in Iowa City. Great show coming up for you today as we will talk to Tom Kakert in just a little bit. We'll talk all things Hawkeye. We'll talk Big Ten Media Day for football. Tom was there. We'll kick that around with him. And the bold new landscape as far as the NCAA and power conferences and conference realignment and all that jazz is concerned. So we'll talk with Tom about that. Big happenings. We didn't get to it yesterday because of all the realignment talk, but we will talk about the Olympics getting started and, of course, the just incredible story coming out today. We'll talk about that as well here on the program. 319-366-1600. That's the text line available to you. Again, that is 319-366-1600. Very active yesterday. Imagine it'll be that way today. If you'd like to pick up the phone and contact us, that is also at 319-366-1600. As Mark joins me here on this Tuesday afternoon. Hope you are hunkered down by the air conditioning, Mark.
Doing well, Scott. Hello, everyone, and all that jazz. I kind of like that, Scott.
You good like job. That? That's a yeah. That's an older term, but it still applies. It still applies. We can go with that. Ben's way too young to know about all that jazz and all. Right? Yeah, he's shaking his head. Yeah, he's too young to know about that. But yeah, we got a good show coming up for you. As we mentioned, Tom Kakert's going to join us coming up in a little bit. Didn't get to it as well yesterday, but high school baseball, of course, the state tournament's going on today in Carroll, starting tomorrow in Iowa City. By the way, if you are planning on going to Iowa City or Carroll tomorrow, they have adjusted the schedule due to the very extreme temperatures, the heat that is expected across the state. They're going to start earlier, and they will have the games later tomorrow, as a matter of fact, if that makes any sense. But should be very interesting. Earlier on today in Class 2A, it was a victory for Unity Christian. They defeated Clarinda 6-2. Right now in the fourth inning, a slugfest going on at Carroll at Merchants Park. It is number one seeded, the only rated team at the state tournament, Van Meter. They are leading Davis County, the Bloomfield Davis County Mustangs, by a score of 8-4. So more on that coming up on the Evil Side Away scoreboard a little bit later on the program here today. And again, it's 319-366-1600 if you would like to weigh in on the program. And as I mentioned, Tom Kakert will join us coming up in just a little bit. But a lot of news overnight, Mark. I think a lot of people woke up to obviously a very surprising news coming out of Tokyo and the Olympic Games. Once again, the 32nd annual Summer Games, which actually got started on, Friday Tokyo time, early Friday in the United States. We got to see the opening ceremonies on Friday night and competition throughout the weekend. Some of it's already over, like softball. As you heard with the Westwood One update at the top of the hour, the U.S. women coming home in second, beating Japan yesterday in a game that really didn't matter at all, or a couple days ago, I should say, and then losing in the gold medal game coming up today. But no, I don't know. Should we say, if you don't want to know, Mark, this is very tough when you're talking about something that's 13 hours ahead, right?
Well, it is. And it makes it less satisfying in some respects to me. But as I sit here and watching a replay of the Japan-U.S. softball game.
I'm sorry if I spoiled it for you, by the way.
No, I already knew about it because when I woke up this morning, it was being shown live. And I already knew that Japan had secured a 2-0 victory. And it's very curious. Softball hasn't been in the last two Olympics. It's back this year, and it's out again next year. I guess I really don't understand that.
I'm with you, but it was one of the sports that was dropped for the Olympiad coming up in Paris in 2024 and 3 years from now. But I think it's very difficult. It's difficult even back in the non-internet days to talk about games and events that were already held but are going to be seen in prime time on network television. Even harder in this day and age. I mean, I don't know, unless you are just absolutely staying away from your phone or whatever the case may be, your computer, your Kindle, what have you, that you don't know the events that took place when you overnight and when you wake up in the morning. It makes it, I think that's what makes the intrigue about the 1980 Miracle on Ice hockey team even more, because that game was not played. It was a different time, and we knew the outcome, but nobody knew the outcome unless you were watching Channel 9 News that night. Sorry, Doug Crowell. But anyway, yeah, it was not even played in prime time. And we didn't. If that took place now, Mark, oh my gosh, the difference between then and now of the Miracle on Ice. But everyone at this point, if you know about it and you've been around your phone, you know about the U.S. women's gymnastics team.
Indeed. 319-366-1600 is your opportunity to weigh in, as Cajun Troy has. I like knowing the results and still watch. Such will be the case tonight when the team competition in the U.S. In the women's gymnastics is going to be shown. We already know that the U.S. finished with a silver medal in the team race. We already know Simone Biles pulled out of the competition. But yet, people will still watch. I'm quite sure of that.
Yeah, and it'll be one of the highest rated nights as far as Olympic coverage and viewership is concerned. And, you know, it's still a great accomplishment. You know, I hate to go all Ricky Bobby, nothing wrong with silver, you know, anything like that on people out there. But, you know, it's 2021 and we deal with a lot of things. Individuals deal with a lot of things. Athletes deal with a lot of things. And that apparently is what Simone Biles has dealt with. And hopefully she'll get it squared away and she'll be able to come back as far as the individuals are concerned and the individual events and what have you. But I'm going to be very interested tonight to see how NBC is going to choose to cover this and how they're going to go about doing it, because this is a, I mean, they had to make some 180-degree decisions at the last moment with Simone Biles only going through one rotation and then pulling out of the team event. Like I said, I think it's going to be very interesting to watch from a journalistic standpoint how NBC handles this situation tonight.
Yeah, and I understand there's going to be an interview with Simone Biles, and if you've, you know, tried to stay away from these types of stories, I'm going to tell you right now, so turn your radio off. Biles pulled out because she said she, quote, felt the weight of the world on her shoulders and did not have a good vault, and after that, she was checked medically, apparently fine, but she had some things going around in her head that she didn't feel that she, because of the pressure, didn't feel like she could perform to her optimum level. And this may seem strange to some people who watched her 5 years ago and just rocked the competition. And now for her to say and feel, and I believe her, that she felt the weight of the world on her shoulders and didn't want to damage the team and therefore allow her fellow teammates to go ahead and try to do the best they can. And they finished second, as I said. And people handle pressure differently, Scott, as you know. I mean, if I'm going to scramble and I got a four-footer and I'm the fourth guy to try it, I got all kinds of nerves and demons going on. I mean, that's not to minimize what Biles' situation is, but it just tells you that other people, you know, people of all skill levels and whatnot handle pressure differently. And Biles just didn't feel right. And some people are poo-pooing that. Not me.
No, and I don't know how you can do that at any time, but especially, I think, in 2021. And your thoughts welcome at 319-366-1600. And it's very interesting. Very interesting. And you talk about the weight of a nation on a young lady's shoulders who's only, what, 4'8", 4'9", something like that. I mean, height doesn't matter at this point, but... And, you know, NBC is to blame some for this because what have you seen all the lead up to the Olympics? What have you seen in the first 3 days of the Olympics so far? And it's basically been Simone Biles. She's been shown, even not in all the promos, everything that NBC has put out there has Biles on it. And yes, even though you have waited for 5 years since the last Olympic Games, it is still, that's still a lot.
That pressure builds.
It does. It does. And she fell on her first vault. She said in midair, I had no idea what I was doing. And I lost concentration. And, you know, I would have to believe her on that. And she felt the best thing to do was to not hurt the team and just get out of the way and allow them to do very, very good things. We'll get to Troy coming up in a moment. I want to get this out there, 5015, letting us know that there's a traffic situation on I-380 southbound, backed up all the way to North Liberty. I would assume that is from Iowa City. In that area along the I-80, I-380 construction zone as far as the interchange is concerned. So if you are on 380 headed from Cedar Rapids down toward Iowa City, you may want to consider 965 or take a nice drive in the country today because it sounds like it's going to be a while. 319-366-1600 as we are at 17 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. On the text line, 8532, as someone who works each day in the mental health field, I am glad Simone was able to be honest about her mental health struggles. We are slowly making progress. Thank you for covering it with respect. Thank you as well for those kind words. You say her name three times, and here she comes, Mark. Our friend Cajun Troy joining
hey,
us.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, I just want to comment on Simone and also Osaka because she lost also.
Yes, she did.
But, yeah, and you know, you think of the pressure of this. And then I think the pandemic had a lot to do with this because it's just like you mentally ready to compete in 4 years. And then you had to get yourself in shape without being able to have to do it on your own, you know, because you couldn't do things. And I just think even they were saying that the one guy who took the silver yesterday in swimming, the mental thing that he went through. And then the top is all off. It's freaking social media. You know, everybody got their opinion about things. I've never done social media. All I do is call and text. I don't care what anyone thinks, and I don't care what they think about me, okay? So, and that's just the pressure of these kids out here or whatever. But I really think, I'm glad she made this decision. I'm glad, you know, a lot of these players coming out, you know, and expressing this, you know. But I'm sure people think, well, you know, they're not, well, she's making money advertising, but it's a lot. It just really is. And I, you know, I just hope, like you say, with the, you know, the mental health situation and all over the world needs to, you know, they need to step up because this is a serious, serious situation, you know. And I think with social media out here, with, you know, with young kids and this and that, that it's a lot to so for these young people to deal with every day. And I just really think so. So I'm proud of her that she did this. And I guess whoever anybody else think doesn't matter. As long as she's happy and she find that peace in her heart, that's all that matters. She entertains me. When I watch it, I enjoy it. What she does off of that mat and bars has nothing to do with me, nothing at all. So, but I appreciate you guys talking about it. And too bad Aaron Rodgers is back, so I guess the Saints going to lose that opening game.
Gee, I hadn't heard, Troy.
I know. What a bunch of crap. Right? You know, it's like, really, dude? You know, okay, whatever. You know, it's just like, all right, whatever. I just thought maybe the first game he'll miss, you know, just to give Jameis just a little try without our top wide receiver, but that's all right.
Yeah, you're going to be out without Thomas for a while, so.
Yeah, that's okay. You know what? My team this year, I'm looking at the Rams. I like Matthew Stafford, so I'm looking at them, and I'll just cheer Jameis on that he could get an extended contract. That's all I can do.
All right. Hey, thanks, Troy. Appreciate it.
All right, sweetie. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Cajun Troy joining us here on the Gym Class on KGYM at 3:20. Want to let everybody know that not only that traffic update, but we also are going to play Last Pair Standing again, Mark. And we had fun with this yesterday, and we're going to have fun with it for the next 2 weeks. We've got the contest, Last Pair Standing, and each day the Gym Class and the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. We're going to take one winner. They're going to get a chance to pick a pair of tickets to the four, while they remain anyway, to the four grandstand shows at the Iowa State Fair. Boys to Men, the Beach Boys, Styx, and the Doobie Brothers with their 50th anniversary tour. And another chance for a winner before 4 o'clock here today. The first two, Mark, by the way, both taking the Boys to Men Belle Biv DuVoe concert. Interesting, interesting, interesting.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, it might say something about our demographics. I don't know. But still, tickets to three great grand concerts available.
That's because people love Belle Biv DuVoe. Just throwing it out there. Just throwing it out there. 319-366-1600. And talking about Simone Biles. As far as the Olympics are concerned as a whole, Mark, it takes about one day for me to remember, oh, yeah, that's right. It's at times with some of the commentary as far as the Olympics are concerned, because let's face it, a lot of the expert commentators don't get a lot of airtime in a lot of these sports, except every 4 years. And it is just, it's almost a drinking game with one cliche after the next. You know, oh, really trying to get to that top rung and win that gold. Really? Really? Yeah, you're right. They are trying. I don't want to get too much light of it, but it just you get the top folks with the top sports, track and field, swimming, gymnastics, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But by the time you get down to, you know, you get down to ping pong and badminton, things like that.
Wait.
I love ping pong, by the way. Don't call
you
it ping
didn't
pong.
Say that, did
table
you?
Tennis. Table tennis. I'm sorry. Table tennis, Mark. Table tennis.
I was watching a table tennis match yesterday. They're phenomenal, by the way.
They are. That's fun to watch.
And the announcers, one of the announcers said, in a 2-2 match, said, so-and-so, there's not much separation between these two teams, are there? Is there?
No, Cotton, there isn't.
It's 2-2. Play on. Yeah, table tennis, ping pong, been a, you know, maybe not a point of debate, but I remember, you remember Jimmy Butler?
Yeah.
Out of Iowa City?
Yeah, yep.
Two-time Olympian, and I did a feature on him back in the day. And talked to his coach, and I let ping pong slip out.
Uh-oh.
The coach let me have it. It's table tennis, not ping pong, okay?
True.
And I've remembered that ever since. I might play ping pong in my garage, but not at the Olympic level, okay?
They're playing table tennis there, but it's still, you get the point. It's, you know, and there's a lot of nationalism coming out. Let's face it. We want the Americans to win. NBC wants the Americans to win, or USA. The NBC family umbrella wants the United States to win, and why not? And if we can't, then we cheer for our, Canada, Mexico, whatever the case may be. 27-23, letting you know he was tough, Mark.
Yeah. 27-23 has played Jimmy Butler. I'll be darned.
How about that? Justin weighing in as far as Simone Biles is concerned. Is Biles going to be too old for the next Olympic Games? Usually gymnastics is a younger age sport, isn't it? Yes. She would be, what, 27, 28-ish? Of course.
Yeah, she's 24 right now. In 3 years, she'd be 27, obviously.
Of course. Now, you've got the story of the 46-year-old gymnast who was at the Olympics again for Uzbekistan, I believe it is. I'm not 100% sure as far as the country is concerned, but who did announce her retirement. She was in the vault. She's 46. It was like her eighth Olympics or something like that. And she got a standing ovation after her final vault. But so you never say that you're too old. You're as old as you feel, correct, Mark?
Well, exactly. Some sports lend, you don't often see a 40-year-old in gymnastics. I watch equestrian because I must, given my lovely wife. And, you know, there's 50 and 60-year-olds riding around. And they're some of the best in the game. But that's a different, you know, you're not going to get a track and field somebody in track and field running 100 at age 50. Just some sports lend themselves to, no age.
You two could be the announcing duo for, you know, for dressage and things like that.
No, I'll pass.
Well, your lovely wife could.
She could, maybe.
There are several elements to the to that sport, correct?
Yes, many of which I don't understand, but
you can cheer. You can cheer. Come on,
You know, it's one of those things that, you know, in multiple sports, whether it's water polo or table tennis or volleyball or equestrian, whatever it may be, you root for the USA, right? You may not know the person, you may not know how good they are. But much of the Olympics is rooting for the USA. I mean, one of the best stories so far, I think, Scott, and I think you probably saw this, is the 17-year-old swimmer from Alaska.
Oh, yeah.
Who won gold in 100-meter breaststroke yesterday. The first Alaskan to win a gold medal, maybe a medal, period. And the video of people going crazy at her high school in Seward, Alaska, population of about 2,000, was priceless. And to think that there's one 50-meter pool in the whole state of Alaska, and this young lady, 17 years old, wins an Olympic gold medal.
Pretty cool.
Amazing.
Pretty cool. Did you see afterwards, not only the indoor celebration when it was taking place, the race, but then did you see that quite a few people took to the streets of Seward, Alaska, and waving American flags and just driving up and down the main drag there, honking horns, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, in a very fun, patriotic celebration for their favorite Alaskan swimmer.
I did not see that. I hope to catch a video of it. I can only imagine in a town of 2,000 or 2,500. It was probably bigger than beef days. I don't know.
Don't have hay bale tossing up there, though.
No.
By the way, it's another day that ends in Y. Tyler Linderbaum on another watch list today. So we can report that. Unless I took that away from your scoreboard, Mark.
You've taken most things off the scoreboard, well, but that's okay.
We're going to get to it right now. We'll hit it again here. It's time for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, and it's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. as they are located on First Avenue Southeast, right across from the Lindale Mall here in Cedar Rapids, and behind the Taco John. Stop on by and watch the Olympics there. Watch it. Cheer. Do what you got to do. Jamie and Chris and Dave, everybody over there. Great staff they have at Emil's Hideaway. And what's on the scoreboard today?
Just a smattering of items. No Major League Baseball action this afternoon, but we will have the Tigers and Twins tonight on 107.5 FM at 6:30 p.m. Not mentioned in the Olympic coverage so far, the United States women's soccer team has advanced to the knockout round after a nil-nil tie against Australia. Not a great pool play round for the U.S., but still a contender for gold. Still looking for a final in that Van Meter Davis County game. Nothing final on that at the state baseball tournament. Tomorrow in Iowa City at Duane Banks Field, Marion and Xavier will be in action in first-round games. You mentioned check those game times because they have been adjusted because of the weather. And former Iowa State wide receiver Alan Lazard has signed a one-year contract with the Green Bay Packers. Lazard caught 33 passes and three for touchdowns, became a pretty good target for Aaron Rodgers last year. And he may be paired with Randall Cobb. Appears that that trade, the Packers are going to acquiesce to Rodgers' wants and bring him back to Green Bay.
Yeah, and there are reports that the deal is all done to get Randall Cobb over there. That's one of the things that Aaron Rodgers wanted. That just hurts the Saints even more on opening day. I'm sorry, Troy, to let you know about that, but that's the way it goes. 3:31 here on the gym class program on KGYM. Don't forget, before 4 o'clock, your chance to play at Last Pair Standing for two tickets to see a grandstand concert at the Iowa State Fair. And we still have all four are on, still available. And our winner will get a chance to choose among those four. And Last Pair Standing comes up before 4 o'clock. But when we come back, Tom Kakert joins us. We'll talk about Big Ten Football Media Days and more. And we'll do that when we return after this here on KGYM.
When you twin together, you have fun together. Come see your Minnesota Twins at Target Field with your family and friends all summer long. Feel the warmth, enjoy the food, and cheer on the Twins, all from under the bright lights.
To swing a line drive into left field and deep. Back it goes! Ball game! What a game today!
Target Field's back to full capacity, so grab your tickets at twinsbaseball.com/tickets and share your experience on Instagram. We'll see you at the game.
Score a major payday with BetMGM. It's the best time to sign up for the King of Sportsbooks because they're giving new customers a shot at an easy $100. Register using code HANSON100, HANSON100, and win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 moneyline wager on the Cubs or Reds, and if either team hits a home run, you win, regardless of your bet's outcome. Whether you're raising the stakes on summer baseball or wagering on your favorite soccer team, BetMGM is always ready for action. Enjoy innovative parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use code HANSON100, Hanson with an O, to win $100 when you bet $1 on the Cubs or Reds and either team hits a home run. Only at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. New customer offer, paid in free bets. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older, Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Angie's List is now Angie. Summer is the perfect time to book your next home project. From lawn care to a new patio, Angie makes it simple to connect with pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
For nearly 100 years, folks have trusted Blue Star Medicated Ointment to relieve the pain and itching of almost any skin irritation.
It works on my son's dry, itching feet and their jock itch.
I had this rash on my neck. Nothing worked until Blue Star.
Blue Star worked great on my ringworm without steroids.
My wife and I have been using Blue Star for years. It's never let us down.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast or your money back.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Lender Tire.
Back with you at 3:34, gym class for a Tuesday. Coming your way here on KGYM. Caddy Smack on the gym class coming up tomorrow. We'll talk golf with Brian Haas as the Olympic golf tournament about to get underway for the weekend. That should be very interesting over in Tokyo. And speaking of golf, Mark, they held the Zach Johnson Foundation Golf Classic yesterday at Elmcrest. Sans Zach, but Kim was there. Other members of the family still raising a lot of money for Zach's foundation, and that was great to see. And I believe 19 professional golfers were out there. No fans this year, but at least they got everything in and still raised some good funds.
Yeah, an abbreviated event. They played 9 holes in front of very few, if any, fans, and raised about $800,000 for kids on course. That's truly amazing in my mind. A lot of it raised at the gala on Sunday night. And, of course, these companies and individuals pay money to play with certain professionals. And that's really a testament to not only the foundation, but the support it has in the community. And via Michael Oss's column today, we found out that Zach has been quarantined in his parents' basement for the since testing positive for COVID-19 after the John Deere Classic, preventing him from going to the Open Championship. And sounds like he and Kim are headed back east to Sea Island, Georgia right now.
Yep, and next scheduled to be in at the Wyndham Championship in Greensboro, which could be very, very key for Zach. Right now he is top 120, I believe, or 125, make the FedEx Cup playoffs, and Zach is right around 100 right now. So he's going to need probably to make the cut in a decent showing at Greensboro to get into the first round of the playoffs anyway.
Yeah, possibly. Well, it depends on what other players do. I think he's 103 right now, so he's got a little wiggle room. But there won't be any competition until after the Olympics, and I think only one other maybe a tournament besides that one to round out the season.
There you go. All right, more on golf coming up tomorrow. Tom Cakert, HawkeyeReport.com, part of the Rivals Network, set to join us right now. And, of course, Tom does a great job covering the Iowa Hawkeyes in part of the contingent in Indianapolis for Big Ten Football Media Days. How different was that, Tom? Good afternoon.
Yeah, a little different. We weren't at the ballroom of the hotel in Chicago where they filmed The Fugitive. This year we were in Lucas Oil Stadium on the field where the Big Ten championship will be contested in December.
Tom, one of the ideas that came out of Kevin Warren's talks was that the Big Ten football championship game, he's open to maybe rotating it to different sites, perhaps out east. Is he serious about that?
I don't think he's going to end up being very serious about it. I could see maybe doing it in Detroit or Minneapolis or something like that, a dome stadium. But I don't see him going to, the Meadowlands or something. It just doesn't make much sense, or Soldier Field or something. It just doesn't make sense. You're going to be holding a title game, and I don't know that you really want to do that in an outdoor setting in the first part of December in the Midwest.
I think I would agree with you. Don't bring weather involved into the football equation, especially when we get to 2025, and who knows if somebody needs a win to get into the field of 12, I guess it is. It will be in 2025. You don't want to have You don't want to have that dependent on a weather forecast.
Yeah, and it's just there's so much money involved in getting into that, even the 4-team playoff. And imagine what it's going to be like for the 12 team. You don't want to, you know, have something, you know, imagine if you held it outdoors this year or something, or Ohio State is probably, you know, one of the teams that would get in, but they, you know, it's a bad weather day, just things go bad, and you lose that game and you lose a chance to put one of your conference teams in to the mix for a national title. It just doesn't seem like a wise financial decision.
Oklahoma and Texas have certainly changed the landscape right now, moving to the SEC, Tom. And I don't think anybody has the right answers right now what's going to happen in the next 3 or 4 years. But as we look at the Big Ten, and I'm going to ask you what you think the options are. Will the Big Ten be married to AAU schools, Association of American Universities schools? Geographics, television sets. Your thoughts on the Big Ten and what its next move may be?
This is going to be the minute that story hit, and the minute you know, it was Oklahoma and Texas breaking away, and they're obviously the two biggest fish that could be out there, I think, other than Notre Dame. You know, maybe you could throw USC in there if you think the Pac-12 is going to fall apart, but you know, two huge brands and a lot of eyeballs. I think kind of, you know, it's interesting. The last time you kind of made some, the Big Ten made some moves, and really anybody, we're still kind of tied to the old model and tethered to the you know, cable boxes and media markets and things of that nature. Now that's all dying. Everything streams now. I think you just you have to pick the best fits. You know, I've seen a lot of stuff about the AAU stuff with the Big Ten, and there's some legit reasons for that. Because, you know, I heard something the other day that within the Big Ten, they have like $10 billion yearly or something that from research grants that they're able to do because of that union. So, from just the university aspect, it's a massive deal for them. I don't know what direction the Big Ten is going to go, though. I'm really going to be really curious to see. They could go west and try and break up the Pac-12. I don't know that anything in the what's left of the Big 12 is going to move the needle a whole lot. You know, or maybe you see if you can get something from the ACC or make another run at Notre Dame.
Well, the $64,000 question out there is that what about Iowa State? And Iowa and Iowa State in the same league. It sounds as though Kansas has made overtures. I don't think Oklahoma, there are reports today that Oklahoma State also is looking toward the Big Ten. I don't think it's a real secret that Jamie Pollard and Iowa State, if they had their druthers and there's not going to be a Big 12 anymore, they would like to be in the Big Ten. There's not a room for everybody in the boat, I would think, as far as the Big Ten is concerned. But I guess start off with an Iowa-Iowa State. We would guarantee a football game every year. We know that.
I kind of think Iowa is going to say no thanks to having Iowa State in the Big Ten. I think Iowa likes the fact that they are the Big Ten school in the state of Iowa. And I don't think they want to share company with Iowa State in that regard. And if the shoe was on the other foot, I'm sure Iowa State would feel the same way, that they don't want to share a conference with the Hawkeyes. So, you know, I kind of chuckle every time I see one of these stories about one of the Big 12 schools that's been left out, the eight that remain, that they're talking to the Big Ten. It's like, yeah, and back when I was single, I wanted to date supermodels too, you know. I'd be interested in dating, you know, a supermodel. It's just like they, of course, they're going to be interested in the Big Ten because that's going to be where some financial gain is going to be. But I don't know that the Big Ten is going to be interested in any of them.
Yeah, Farrah Fawcett never got back to me, Tom, so.
Cindy Crawford never called me back.
Of all the coaches at Big Ten football media days, was there one, maybe two, that made an impression on you?
Of the coaches?
Yeah.
Harbaugh seemed a little more humbled than he's been in the past. He's still kind of odd. I was impressed with Greg Schiano at Rutgers. He seems to have that program going in the right direction. Tom Allen seems to have gotten really more comfortable at Indiana too. The first couple of years he was up there, it was really kind of awkward, and I think he's kind of, you know, found his voice a little bit in the last year, and was impressed with him. So, just a bunch of impressive coaches, I thought.
Kirk Ferentz had a very Kirk Ferentz-like appearance, I think. Chicago, Indianapolis does not matter, I think, as far as Kirk is concerned. And if you read between the lines, as some people are, kind of commenting about the fact that this is one of those Kirk teams that he kind of gets behind a little bit more. Not a lot thought about them. You know, a few superstars out there, especially at the center position, but you know, not a lot being written about this team, and he kind of quietly says, "Yeah, you know, if things come together, I think we could be good." Your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think Kirk has had some quiet confidence about this team, and I think he likes what he has with this team, and I think he believes they can be good. I think the big determining factor for Iowa football this year is going to be the development of Spencer Petras. If what Kirk said last year is true, and that just it was the no spring ball and, you know, kind of a weird camp, and he was just a new quarterback, and that he's kind of grown up and figured things out a little bit more. I shouldn't say grown up, he's been very mature, but just grown as a quarterback, then I think Iowa can be really good. You know, what's funny is a while back I was talking to Tyler Barnes, the director of recruiting for Iowa. And he was telling me they had, in Spencer's year, they had three quarterbacks on their board. It was Wilson Kidd, who was the second pick, Trey Lance, who was the third pick, and Petras. Now were there three quarterbacks.
Wow.
Yeah. How about that? And the Wilson Kidd was going to visit, and then Petras had visited the week before, and we actually did a story on Wilson coming in. Petras saw it and decided he was going to commit.
Interesting.
People aren't all in on Petras. Why, Tom? Some people.
Last year, I think when he came in, I think they were really in on him. Everybody was pretty excited about him. He comes from the same high school that produced Jared Goff, and had a really, I think, a pretty solid resume that he had put together. But last year, I think it was just those first two games where he was, frankly, bad. You know, he was throwing the ball inaccurately, had some mistakes that second half of the Northwestern game where he throws three interceptions. I thought at the end of the year he was playing pretty good football. But it's just that first impression that he left, and it's, for a lot of Iowa fans, it's made it more difficult.
Mm-hmm. About this football team going into camp, now that you've been to Big Ten media days, et cetera, in order for this team to perform well, maybe even overachieve, is there a specific player, or is there a specific position group that really, in your eyes, needs to step up?
I'd say it's with Iowa, it's probably two things. One is Petras playing better and more consistently. I think that's critical offensively, because I think they've got everything else. They've got the stud running back. They've got really good receivers. They've got a really solid offensive line. They just lack that that dynamic quarterback that can kind of lead you and make plays. I think the biggest question mark going into the year is the defensive line, though, because in order for Iowa to be effective, they got to stop the run. And, they've dialed up every year, but, they lost three starters. And it's, they've had for years, with going back to Epinesa, Anthony Nelson, guys like that, they've just had this really strong run of solid defensive linemen, even like a Parker Hesse, guys like that. A lot of new faces this year. Noah Shannon, John Wagner finally getting his shot. Van Valkenburgh was a great story last year. Now he's going to be more of a focus. It's and they're going to be counting on a redshirt freshman and the black kid. So they've got that defensive line's got to develop some depth and come along really quickly this year.
Yeah, there may be no better stories on the Iowa football program than Zach Van Valkenburg. As you know, Tom, started out in Division II, and he's become one of the three representatives at the Big Ten Football Media Days. I listened to him, watched him, extremely well-spoken, and seems to be now one of the leaders of that team. But as you said, can that defensive line perform with him and others?
Yeah, and he's a great story. I mean, you know, who would have thought a kid from a D2 school? And Kirk kind of compared it to the Marshall Yanda story. And I remember talking to one of the Iowa coaches at the time when they signed Yanda. And this is funny in retrospect, of course. And he said, why'd you guys go after the Yanda kid? What's he about? And he said, well, we just wanted, you know, thought maybe he'd be a really good depth guy on our offensive line. And then, you know, they get him in there and they put the pads on him and it, oh, okay, he's playing and he's going to start. So I think, you know, Kirk kind of made that comparison to Van Valkenburg with kind of the Marshall Yanda story that, you know, they put the pads on him and, boy, he's pretty good and he can help them. So, yeah, you know, fun fact about him, he's getting his master's in Russian. So wow. He's learning to speak Russian and, pretty interesting guy, very well read and well spoken, thoughtful kid.
You don't get that very often on campus, especially on the football team. So good for him out there. Hey, before we let you go, do we hear two Hawkeyes names called on Thursday in the NBA draft, which would be a first. I haven't done the research on it, but I know it hasn't happened in a long, long time.
I guess the last time it probably happened was when Roy and BJ were drafted.
That's what I would think.
That would be my guess. So that's quite a while ago. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm really confident that Joe Wieskamp's going to get drafted. I'm not as confident that Luka Garza is. And you know, one of the fun things with having like gambling stuff in our lives these days, there are actually betting lines out there to find out if they're going to be drafted above or below a number. And Luka Garza is at 55.5, and all the money seems to be pouring in on the won't get drafted below, you know, kind of it's like 60 picks and below that. So that's just kind of, I look at some of the mocks too, and nobody's listing Luka Garza going, which, you know, he's just the wrong time. I mean, if he was born in the 80s, or if he was you know, coming out of prospect in the 80s, he'd have been a top 10 pick last year probably. But game has changed, and it's just so unfortunate. But I still think Luka, with the right system, the right fit, the right team, I think he can carve out a really nice NBA career.
I would agree, and it'll be interesting. Yeah, and who knows, you just got to find the right fit, and the rest could be history. We'll see. But should be interesting coming up on Thursday night. And great to see another Hawkeye from Winfield Mountain Union High School. So it's not just Jess Settles anymore.
Yes, it's not. Now Cam Buffington committed yesterday, linebacker, 2024 kid. So yeah, he's got a ways to go, but he grew up a Hawkeye fan. And once he got the offer, it was pretty much a done deal that he was going to commit. So he and the Fox kid from East Buchanan are both 2024 commits. So they're making hay in 2024 already in state.
Yeah, they've got more 2024s and I think 2023s right now. So
yes. Yep. Wild times.
Crazy how that goes.
Trade two of those for Caden Proctor, I think, though.
yeah, that's the big fish in this class, and he's getting recruited by everybody in the country, and he's really good. You know, he's got his pick of wherever he wants to go, he can go.
Yeah. Well, Southeast Polk's got about three or four that are really, really good.
Yeah, the Xavier Wampen kid is just, he's as good as I've seen as a safety in the state of Iowa. And maybe, you know, Jordan Bernstein might be the last one that I saw that was had that kind of explosiveness to him from a defensive back in the state. So just really talented kid.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, appreciate it. And we will talk as we get closer and closer to the football season getting underway, which is not too far in the distant future.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Always enjoy it.
All right. Thank you. Tom Caker, HawkeyeReport.com. And give him a follow on Twitter. Some great stuff right there. We'll take a quick break, come back, and as we go to break, going to give you an opportunity to play Mark's favorite game, Last Pair Standing. We're going to take caller number 6 at 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Our winner is going to get to choose between the four grandstand acts at the Iowa State Fair, which are Boys to Men with special guest Belle Biv DeVoe and the Beach Boys with Hanson, Styx with Tesla, and the Doobie Brothers 50th Anniversary Tour featuring Tom Johnston, Michael McDonald, Pat Simmons, and John McGee. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. Caller number 6. Ben will get your information and get your choice. And we'll let you know who our winner is and what show they're going to see when we come back.
I learned long ago, if you've got the right tools and a little know-how, you can do it yourself. And no wall of mine's gonna get some dime a dozen paint. Pittsburgh Paints and Stains. Premium performance from its smooth application to that tough, washable one-coat finish. It exceeds expectations of what makes great paint. Pittsburgh Paints and Stains. Available exclusively at Menards.
Fire threatens everything in its path. When it threatens our nation and our communities, we respond. We bring the fight to the front line. The Army National Guard stands ready to face the dangers of Mother Nature and protect our homes and our neighbors. We will always be there when your community needs us the most. Discover more about all the ways you can serve part-time in your community by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association at this station.
Kate is our winner, and Mark, a man after our own heart here, because Kate has become the first winner to choose to see the 50th anniversary tour of the Doobie Brothers.
Not a horrible choice by any means, Kate. I know you'll enjoy it.
Yeah, so they're going to be at the fair on August the 22nd, and that is a Sunday, and that will begin at 8 o'clock. Tickets are on sale online at iowastatefair.org. More information available at our website at kgymradio.com. Todd and Alex will have another round of Last Pair Standing. So we got three pair remaining for Boys to Men, four pair for the Doobie Brothers, five for Styx, and five for the Beach Boys as well as we get down to the nitty-gritty in Last Pair Standing. Always appreciate Tom Caker coming on with us. Some good insight as far as Iowa, Big Ten, and what's going on in the NCAA. If you missed it, the podcast will be up on our website as well as Apple and Spotify coming up here in just a little bit. Caddy Smack on the Gym Class, that is coming up later on, and I should say tomorrow. Coming up later on, it'll be Twins baseball coming up this evening. More bad news last night, injury-wise, for your Twins, Mark.
Yep, Tyler Rogers put on the injured list, the closer for the Twins with a hand injury. And as I just tweeted, the beat goes on.
Sox will try to break the spell of the Kansas City Royals. Great to see Eloy Jimenez back in the lineup, though, last night, even though he was 0-for-4. Great to see him back out there, and Sox have never been able to hit minor. I don't.
Luis Robert is in AAA in a rehab.
Yes.
So his return might not be too far off.
Yes. The Calvary is coming. And Tyler Anderson traded to the Philadelphia Phillies from one side of Pennsylvania to the other. That happening during this particular program. So that'll make the Phillies a little bit deeper as far as their starting pitching is concerned. So we'll see how that plays out. We'll talk some baseball coming up on Thursday. RJ Anderson is going to join us. So looking forward to that. All right, Mark, we'll have Caddy Smack in the Gym Class. We'll talk golf with Brian Haas coming up tomorrow.
Look forward to it. Talk to you then.
All right. Thank you for listening to the Gym Class here at KGYM, the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That comes your way next. Have a great night.
Goodyear believes in the power of moving forward. No matter if it's on the track, the court, or the field, movement.